tell you that missions is not simply going to every place in the world to preach the gospel, but missions is also an investment. But it's not a normal investment like we have here in the States or in New York. Missions is a heavy investment, because when we give to missions, when we give the faith promise, we are investing in souls, we are investing in eternity. And everybody that has some kind of investment likes to see the result of their investment. But what is the result of missions? Turn with me to the book of Acts, the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 16. Apostle Paul here is in his second missionary journey. Acts chapter 16. We are going to read from verses 11 through 15. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. And the Bible says, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." So tonight we are going to talk about what happens when we obey the Great Commissions. What happens when we fulfill the Great Commissions. We are going to talk about the result of missions. But first, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful service that we have been having here tonight. And I pray that you continue to bless this service and that you would speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is no secret to anyone here that no matter what we do in life, there will be a result of our actions. It can be either a physical action or a material action, like a decision we make. And action is always followed by a result. In 1687, Isaac Newton published his Three Laws of Motion, in which he said that for every action in nature, there is a reaction. However, more than 1,500 years earlier, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." An action is always followed by a result. And the same happens with missions. When we practice missions, there will be results. And in this chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul was a foreign missionary, and he was a Jew and was in a foreign country doing what God had told him to do. And during this trip to Macedonia, Paul went to the city of Philippi. And in that city, the Apostle Paul and his church planting team met a woman called Lydia. The Bible says that Lydia was a national from Thyatira. And Thyatira was a city in Asia Minor, well known as a center of purple dye and fabric made from it. Notice that verse 14 says that God opened Lydia's heart to the things that Paul was saying. Then on verse 15 says that she was baptized. In other words, she was saved after hearing the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lydia was saved. She received Christ as her savior. And this only happened because of one thing. Because the Apostle Paul was fulfilling the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. It has a name. It is missions. As a matter of fact, I am the result of missions. Because American churches like this one sent a missionary to Brazil many years ago who established a church in my city. I got to know Jesus, I got saved, and I am here today. And in order For missions to give results, three actions must happen. A missionary must be sent, a message must be given, and a change must happen. First, a missionary must be sent. Verses 11 and 12 says, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." The Apostle Paul was a missionary traveling to foreign countries, but he was not a missionary by his own will. He was called by God and sent by churches who supported and prayed for him. The Apostle Paul, who once was a persecutor of the church, after being saved, was called by God to do his perfect will. And he promptly accepted God's calling. And we see in the book of Acts that he was sent as a missionary by the church of Antioch. In 1961, a man from Greenville, South Carolina, named Jimmy Rose, was sent to Brazil as a missionary by American churches. And the work that God made in Brazil through Brother Rose was tremendous. He established several strong Bible-believing churches, including the churches that my father-in-law and I got saved in. And thousands of lives got to know Jesus because of the ministry of Jimmy Rose. And I mean it, thousands of lives. And looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, we can notice two characteristics about a missionary. He must be a willing man, and he must be a godly man. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, the Apostle Paul asked this question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." I believe that this was the most important question that the Apostle Paul made, asked in his life. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do?" And we see here the calling of the Apostle Paul. And we notice two things. First, we notice that the calling to be a missionary must be God's calling. Not someone's pastor calling, not a parent's calling, but only God's calling. And although it's not up to us to call someone to the ministry, we do have to pray that more men and women might be called to the ministry. But we also notice that the Apostle Paul was willing to obey God's calling, because just being called by God is not sufficient for the fulfillment of the ministry. In order for God's calling to be fulfilled in one's life, besides being called by God, he must be willing to obey God. Jonah, the prophet, was called by God to go to the city of Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites. But instead of obeying God and doing what God asked of him, Jonah fled in the opposite direction. And only after God sent him punishment did he obey God. Isn't that what is happening today? Many times we see men being called to the ministry, but they are not willing to obey God. Unfortunately, instead of repenting, they stop following God and live their lives in sin. May God give us willing hearts to obey his word. So not only a willing man, but he also needs to be a godly man. Acts chapter 13, verse 9 says, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." Notice that the Bible says that Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does it mean? It means that Paul was a godly man. God's power was in his life. And the people around him would see it in his message, in his words, and in everything that Paul did. The people around him would see God's power in his life. I only remember a few times hearing missionary Jimmy Rose preaching because I was very young. But I do remember that I could see God's power in his life and in his ministry. I don't know if you ever met him, but he was from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. He was one of Dr. Harold Seidler, preacher's boy. And if you ever heard Dr. Seidler preaching, Jimmy Rose was just like that. He was a fireball. So we could see God's power in him. And the same happens now with my pastor. Every time he preaches, I can see that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. In Paul's day, being filled with the Spirit meant that one could do a special work, such as healing people. Nowadays, I would say that being filled with the Spirit means practicing the fruit of the Spirit and also being empowered by Him to do God's will. So first, a missionary must be sent. But number two, a message must be given. Verse 13 of our text says, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down, and we spake unto the women which resorted thither." The verse says that Paul spoke to the women. But what did he speak about? He spoke about the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the word of God is the only message that can save people and comfort the human heart. That's why we must preach only the word of God, not anything else. Only the message of the Bible. And the message that the Apostle Paul preached was a true message and an essential message. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Apostle Paul preached no less than the perfect word of God. Nowadays, some people want to teach and preach something else. But only the Bible is sufficient. Only the Bible is sufficient because only the Bible preaches Jesus Christ. Only the Bible preaches against sin. And only the Bible preaches the gospel. Jesus is sufficient for all of our needs. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The main point of Paul's message during his missionary life was Jesus. The goal of his ministry was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And not only it is a true message, but it also is an essential message. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It is an essential message because people need to be saved. And they will only get saved if they hear this message. If people never hear about Jesus, if people never hear about the gospel, they will never, never be saved. That's why people need to hear the gospel. And that's why we must preach the gospel to them. What do people need the most? Among all the things that life can offer, money, fame, health, pleasures, what do people need above all these things? People need Jesus. People need Jesus Christ. And how will they believe in Jesus? Through the message of the Bible, through the word of God, either by reading or listening. People will only know Jesus through the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This was the message that the Apostle Paul preached in his days. And this is the message that we must preach today. Not anything else, only the perfect word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So number one, a missionary must be sent. Number two, a message must be given. And as a result, number three, a change must happen. Notice verse 15 of Acts chapter 16. The Bible says, "And when she was baptized," speaking of Lydia, "and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." After the Apostle Paul preached the word of God, Lydia was saved. Although she was following God, as we can see in verse 14, when it says that she worshiped God, she wasn't saved yet. Notice that only verse 15 says that she was baptized, which means she only got saved after hearing Paul preaching the gospel, and then she got baptized. And after someone is saved, a change must happen in his life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away.
Behold, all things are become new.
And Lydia's change occurred in two ways: a change of actions and a change of heart. Verse 15 states that she was baptized, and it shows us a change of actions in her life. Lydia was now obeying God. She was now obeying God's word and obeying God's will. But also, Lydia begged, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." It shows us a change of heart in Lydia's life. She was now loving people. She was now caring for people. And she was now loving God. And this change has to be something that not only happens when we got saved, but it also needs to be an everyday change. We ought to be changing ourselves constantly. Paul said in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Notice that Paul said, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And this means that we are supposed to be changing ourselves on a daily basis, to be more and more like Jesus. Do you know what the word Christian means? It means live of Christ. It means that we are followers of Christ. Therefore, we must live and act just like Jesus did. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." A man was walking on the street and he saw a picture of a grown woman with her ear pressed against a man's chest. He decided to read the caption of the picture, which said that this woman was listening to the heartbeat of her son. The man in the picture had received the heart of that lady's son through a heart transplant. And so she was listening to the heartbeat of her son, who was dead in another man's chest. In that same way, God should put his ear in our chest and listen to the heartbeat of his son. And what is the heart of Jesus? It is evangelism. It is missions. And the question now is, when God puts his ear in our chest, can he hear the heart of Jesus beating in our chest? If you ask me what motivates me to practice missions and fulfill the Great Commission, I would say that the change that the gospel has in the life of a person is what motivates me. Because I came from a pretty tough family. When my father was a teenager, his parents had to move away because there was a fight between relatives and some people were killed. As a young man, my father had a gang with his brothers, and they ruled the city and were always, always involved in fights. But then something happened. Jesus happened. And after they got saved, everything changed. My father, who used to be part of a gang, became a faithful Christian. And my uncle, who was the worst of them, the worst, he became a missionary to the prisons in Brazil. Amen. Only Jesus is able to do this. Only Jesus is able to change lives. There is no life that Jesus cannot change. Amen. Lydia was very important after her salvation. A church was established in her own home, the church of Thyatira, that is listed among the seven churches in Revelation. And many, many lives got to know Jesus because of Lydia. This is the result of missions. This is what happens when we obey the Great Commission, when we fulfill the Great Commission. And it's amazing to see that this not only happened in the past, but it's happening today. Many, many lives have been saved in Brazil because of missions. Many Bible institutes have been established. Many Christian schools have been established in Brazil because of missions. And it's not only happening in Brazil, it's happening in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in America, for all over the place. Missions is impacting people.
That is the importance of what Bible-believing churches are doing for missions by spreading the gospel all over the world. I am the result of missions. So the bottom line is that my wife and I are simply doing for others what others have done for us. We just baptized 9 people in one of our churches in Brazil. And this shows to us that missions is still giving results. And we'll never stop giving results. That is the importance of what this church is doing for mission by expanding your ministry for all over the place through your missionaries. As long as we keep practicing missions, the results will never end until the rapture of the church. God bless you.